Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And today's show, I think, is going to be very revealing. It's going to be a kind of surprising to me because it's a subject that I've avoided for a really long time because you'll find out, but I'll just say a little bit now, which is that because I've already gone through menopause quite a while ago, and the subject felt too late for me. No one was talking about it when I was growing up. I just kind of avoided it because I guess I didn't want to get hurt. And so then I stopped avoiding it and I got healed. So the subject is the blood mysteries, and it's about women's blood. And this is deep. It was very deep for me when I finally opened myself to look at it. And today my guest is an expert in the blood mysteries, and her name is Araminta Barber, and she is the founder of The Sanctuary in Guatemala. Araminta is an international speaker, facilitator, and transformational guide. And she's also part of the faculty on the International School of Temple Arts, ISTA, which you have heard me talk about a bunch of times because I too am on the faculty of ISTA, and lots of the commercials and the plugs that I do on the show are about ISTA. So Araminta is another beloved of mine. She's a co-facilitator with me, and that's not all she does. She's also part of the Online University of Love and Sexuality and the Institute of Conscious Sexuality in Hawaii. Her core passion is the process of radical self-acceptance, the inner marriage of love with power. She's here to support the return of ancient temple wisdom and practices for humanity's evolution as liberated, heart-centered creators. So, Araminta, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you. Such a pleasure to be here, Lori.
Yeah, and you're coming to us from Guatemala, which is pretty awesome. Technology is so amazing. I'm so happy to be with you. We just left each other in Costa Rica a month ago, and here we are, so...
Yeah, missing you.
Yeah, missing you too. Well, today my listeners are going to get a taste of you, which is so great. So just, before we actually get into blood mysteries, like what we're even talking about here, how did you get interested? You weren't just born saying, oh, I think I'm going to get into the blood of women. How is it that you took a huge interest in this and decided to make this one of your passions?
Similarly to you, maybe I had a little bit of an aversion to it. I thought it was a bit too cliche to focus on this. But as I got deeper into the spiritual sexual shamanic teachings, what I realized was, the start of our sexual awakening is puberty. And from a shamanic perspective, we're getting this huge creative power download. And of course, for so long now, most of us haven't been given empowered information about it. The Judeo-Christian paradigm is pretty much cloaked in silence and shame and taboo around women's bodies, women's blood. And the more that I researched, the deeper the mystery and the deeper the empowering teachings that have just been pushed under the rug seem to come to the surface. And I just got more and more passionate about wanting to share this information so that we aren't looking at it as the curse. I grew up in the UK, and that's what it was known as.
Yeah, me too. I didn't grow up in the UK, but in New York, it was the curse. So...
And it's like it's actually 180 degrees, that instead of a curse, it's really a massive key to our creative and spiritual power. So, yeah, I'm really passionate about helping women shift their relationship to their cycles and move out of, so many women suffer very physical, painful monthly cycles with a lot of emotional distress, and also to help men really understand how best to support the daughters and women in their lives, and also, of course, get access to some of these really powerful sacred sexual teachings that are linked to the blood, which we'll talk about, hopefully.
Yeah, so you're describing my life. You know, you just described my life. I had a terrible frame for it, which was the curse. I had the worst cramps that I could ever imagine. I used to pass out at parties, and
wow.
I had terrible pain. And when I was in college, if I had my period, I couldn't go to class because mm-hmm. I would pass out in class. And I'd wake up on floors in restaurants or in school or at parties where people were putting smelly salts under my nose because the pain was so bad. I just, like a knife digging into me. Of course, now I know. You know, I know that's related to some dietary stuff. It's not all emotional, psychological. I mean, I really had pain.
Yeah.
And I think that if I had known, you know, I grew up in a time when people weren't really looking at their diet and looking to see what could have been missing. But I'm sure that there were things that I could have lightened up on or taken more or less of in terms of dietary supplements that I probably now could find out about. That would have changed all that, but who knew? So it was terrible. It was the curse. It was dreaded. Luckily, it didn't last for too long. I only had 3 days like that every month. Some people have 7 days like that.
Still, that's a big chunk of your life to hate, you know?
Yeah.
And to fear and to dread.
Yeah, and, not to mention all the clothing that I ruined and everything else, you know, it was horrible. So literally the first person that talked to me about, I think two people talked to me about blood mysteries besides you. They've both been guests on my show. One was Aurora.
Oh, yes, Aurora. Uh-huh.
And she talked to me about it, but we didn't do a show on it because I didn't want to. And and the other person that talked to me about it was Dawn Cherie, who is also an ISTA faculty member. And she invited me to a ceremony when we were leading ISTA Level 1 in Massachusetts, and I said, I'm not coming. And she said, yes, you are. And then I cried, and I had a huge opening. My heart opened to myself. I had compassion for myself in a new way. And then the next thing that happened was I was with you in Costa Rica, and I said, do blood mysteries. And so here we are. Now we're on the show talking about it because I stopped being closed to how painful it was for me, and I worked through it.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing your journey, and I think it mirrors so many of people out there. You know, a lot of men think they have nothing. This is nothing to do with them, because that's the message that women have been giving men. It's like, hush, hush, don't talk about it with men. And actually what we're finding is that when people actually drop into the space and start to hear some of the information, that there's some big clicks and some big keys and some huge doorways into deeper self-love and acceptance and all of this wisdom. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. Who knew? I never imagined that I could turn it into a blessing. And actually in your talk, which we'll get into a little bit, I yearned for that time again so that I could reframe it. And I'm considering doing something called timeline therapy, which is an NLP technique to go backwards and reframe the whole thing from the start.
Beautiful. I think there's really powerful ways of giving ourselves, you know, perhaps the ceremony or the ritual that we often realize part of us may have wanted that we never received, mm-hmm. that helps us reframe completely the experience in our relationship. And you're right, it doesn't matter how old we are when this was, we can go back and give ourselves that sort of vibrational hit in our body and nurture ourselves with all the things that we may have missed.
Exactly. And that's what I'm thinking about, because I feel like I spent so much time dreading that time of the month. And now I'm past it, but it holds something for me, and it holds something for me now as a grown, but we'll get to that. I think you've actually said why we should look at it, you know, like that it's such a rich and fertile time, and the downloads are so powerful and so important, and it's important for women to look at it, and it's important for men to look at it, and we spend so much of our lives in the flow of it. You know, in the flow of the blood, or planning for the blood, or not, you know, like knowing it's coming soon. And I found out it's really important to look at the blood and blood mysteries. So what do we mean by mystery? Let's just cover that in this segment.
Ooh, okay. Well, underneath all the silence and taboo, what has been forgotten, perhaps, that seems to have been alive in the matriarchal times, which, you know, archaeological evidence reveals all of these different civilizations that had a female form of the Godhead front and center, rather than what we see today in the solar traditions where of patriarchy. And a completely different frame around women, and particularly menstrual blood. So the women were the priestesses. Property was inherited through the matriarchal line, so passed down from mother to daughter. That sideline in and of itself has huge implications for cultural framings around sexuality and who and when to share with, because under patriarchy, if inheritance and property isn't passed down through the patriarchal male line, for men to be very sure that the children are actually theirs, there probably needs to be some sort of suggestion that their partner, their female partner, is not having sex with other men. That's one way of guaranteeing the children are yours. So it also, this whole flip around sexual norms in the culture. But when we look at things like the use of the blood is actually, instead of being dirty, which is often, or unclean, and the word menstruation actually comes from the Greek mensis, which is linked to moon and power. That in the matriarchal times, a woman's bleeding was actually sort of considered a cosmic event. It was relating to the whole cycles and tides of the whole universe, and that instead of being unclean, she was considered to be at the very height of her spiritual power. And she was encouraged to take time off, maybe physically leave, go into sort of a retreat space, and tune into this heightened inner voice or spiritual.
Wouldn't that be the red tent?
Well, that's where this red tent revival situation, really encouraging women to stop fighting their natural physical energetic dip and turn their focus inside. And that it's not a selfish process, that actually you're going to get important information for yourself, but also for your community and tribe. So little things like, there's evidence that menstrual blood was what was put on the altar, that it was considered so powerful and sacred. And modern sort of biology is actually doing tons of research now as far as the stem cells that are found in menstrual blood. If we look at, you know, traditions from the Taoists to the ancient Egyptians, there's all this practices about ingesting menstrual blood, mixing with red wine, that it was supposed to increase spiritual power. In ancient Greece, the spring fertility festivals, they spread corn with menstrual blood on the earth.
Wow.
There was such a great belief that the power of creation existed within the blood of women, and the fact that women can bleed every month and not die.
Oh, yeah, that's the big thing.
You know, and that women give birth and were born in a flow, a river of blood, that actually there was something so inherent in the nourishment that the blood was actually part of the nourishing life force. So it was given back to earth.
Well, right there, we're going to take a break. That's a big piece right there. Just the statement, women can bleed and they don't bleed to death. Like, there's blood that gets shed or shared, and there's no death in that blood. That's like, I could see how that could be really scary to men of old and men of new and women themselves. Like, how is that possible? That sentence just like knocked me out. And it did the last time I heard you say it. So we're going to take a short break here, and we're talking about the blood mysteries today on the show, which I said a little earlier I avoided for my own painful reasons, my own suppression earlier in my life. And up until just 3 years ago was the first time I actually took a look at this and realized how rich the subject is and how much there is to offer the healing of me and my empowerment, which I'm pretty powerful, but there was a piece that I was leaving out, and then it enriched me. So my guest today is Araminta Barbour, and she is my co-facilitator in ISTA, International School of Temple Arts, and she also is the founder of Sanctuary in Guatemala, which is a retreat center, and she's an amazing international speaker and facilitator, and I'm thrilled to have her today. So please stay tuned. We're coming right back with more about blood. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
You know, I'm wondering if you've reached a point in your life where happiness seems a little further from reach than maybe it was a year ago. Does your sex life feel a little stale or hollow, like something is missing? Or maybe living seems like a constant source of frustration rather than moments of bliss? Each year, Butterfly Workshops brings together people just like you who are ready for a change. Our courses are structured to be lighthearted, full of laughter and humor, and also touch you in a way that involves real change. Inside our workshops, we take a look at Tantra, an ancient philosophy developed thousands of years ago. In all of the courses, we use simple yet effective techniques from Tantra to rid the body of anxiety, boost our sex life, and bring happiness and fullness into our lives. Our next Butterfly Workshops introductory course, Bliss, will take place in Phoenix, Arizona on April 30th. And I'm hoping that you choose to join us. For more information, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com. Let's make love tonight. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and today my guest is Araminta Barbour, and she is really coming to us from Guatemala. We're Skyping this call. She is a person who offers emotional release guidance. She offers transformational workshops. She is a tantrika. She works with shadow integration, which you just heard about shadow from my last guest. And she does conscious intimacy coaching. And, you know, she's done some conscious intimacy coaching with me on the subject of blood mysteries. So that's what we're talking about today, because I feel transformed through it and by it. So, Araminta, when we left off, we were talking about, you know, how people could... We were actually getting into some rituals where people were offering blood to the corn and the crops, and they were offering it to the earth. And what other kind of blood magic rituals are there?
Well, in some of the tantric texts, it seems like they were considering it a drink of immortality. And so the menstrual blood is full of healing stem cells, which actually, they activate our cellular capacity to regenerate, and they can transport us to these kind of endocrine states of rapture. What I find fascinating, one little snippet, is the bindi in India that marks the third eye is often red. And the tradition of that actually comes from, at least according to the sort of research I've been doing, is that back in the matriarchal times, women were the priestesses. There wasn't so much the priest class. And when women were on their blood, they were considered at the peak of their spiritual connection. And so they would be able to initiate their brothers by marking their third eye with their menstrual blood. And that's maybe been forgotten. And so we use the bindi now. But it's still an awareness of the spiritual power of the menstrual blood. One of the biggest pieces is that the whole knowledge of the beauty and the power, spiritual power of menstrual blood, perhaps got transmuted as we go into patriarchy and Christianity as the blood of Christ. Because all of the power of renewal and rebirth and resurrection that was previously associated with the Holy Womb, the menstrual blood, the Divine Mother, was perhaps transferred to the story of Jesus and his ritual of the Eucharist. So he said, "This is the chalice of my blood." Worshippers were drinking his blood to gain the power of rebirth through him. That understanding was disconnected from women. But as you were talking about just before the break, the fact that women can bleed and not die, that there's blood that is not associated with death, that this blood is actually associated with renewal and rebirth, and that's the magic of the menstrual blood. So it's like some bits of these powerful traditions survive, but a lot of the background and the fullness has been lost.
Yeah, because it got transferred and changed into a different meaning by people who needed it to mean something else. I totally get that. I wanted to go back and say to you, when you were talking about the bindi, that when I turned 50, I discovered Tantra, studying Tantra, whatever, when I was about 46, 47. And when I turned 50, I wasn't bleeding anymore. But for some reason, I just had like one last, out of nowhere, you know, while I was going through menopause, all of a sudden, something happened and I started bleeding. And my partner at the time took the blood and made a bindi and made war paint on himself. He like painted his body with my blood. And I remember that changed something in me. Like I was aghast, you know, like, oh my God, what are you doing? And then I really got the honor that he was meaning to create by that. He just put the blood on him, and I got
so
it.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
so
I got it. That it was a total honor that he was creating a private ritual, and then we made love, and it was just amazing to feel that a man got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, what a powerful story! Super powerful. I think, you know, no matter how kind of civilized and conscious people feel, I think for many women it's really interesting to see the depths of the the shame programs that may have been embedded in our systems by really, yeah, looking at our blood and seeing how comfortable we really are about it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes men are much more at peace with it than women are, and they can be the ones to support us to move into more alignment and respect and integration. So I'm grateful you had that opportunity to a beautiful birth.
Me too. It changed things. It changed some history. Believe me, in that moment, it definitely did. Let's backtrack a little bit and talk about the challenges that girls experience around their first menstrual blood. And also, I want to ask you, why do you call it moon? Women now and girls say, I'm on my moon. And I mean, why is it moon?
Good question. Well, the moon is a mysterious body in the sky that cycles at the same time as most women's monthly blood cycle. So this 28 and a third day. And if you look at the different aspects of the moon, and you track, if you ask a woman to track her physical energy through her cycle and her emotional states throughout her monthly cycle and her mental clarity and her sexual energy, there's some amazing patterns that overlay the moon. And again, in the sort of more ancient traditions, when we were always studying cycles and creation, this huge link between the cycles of the moon, the cycles of the seasons, a woman's cycle, the life-death cycles of a human, the crop cycles, they were all understood as linked. And that the wisdom inherent in unlocking all these cycles provided the keys to life, death, and rebirth. So the ultimate sort of spiritual sexual mysteries are all linked.
Mm. Okay, good. So that's, I just, you know, when people say to me, I'm on my moon, I mean, no one said that when I was growing up. That's like new terminology for me.
I think it's also a way of trying to find new languaging that is honoring. And so for some women to move to whatever terminology that suits them can actually be a way of breaking from some of the negative programming associated with the curse.
Yeah, the curse, the rag, my period, which just is the end of a sentence. That's all. It's a little dot at the end of the sentence.
In Spanish, it's often called la enfermedad, which is the illness.
Yeah, no. And so now the question about the challenges that girls experience around their first menstruation, like, what are some of the challenges that they face?
Well, for one, there's fear, because still for many women on the planet, there's a huge lack of information and a huge lack of discussion. That may not be so much true today in the West, where children, you know, parents may feel more comfortable, or at least they're getting the biology in class. But you'd be surprised how many women actually start bleeding and they didn't know anything about it. So that initial experience can be one filled with fear. I mean, it's pretty scary if your genitals are bleeding and you don't know that it's natural. Another emotion is sadness. There's definitely an ending of one cycle of life and a beginning of a new one. And any of these sort of litmus phases in life require a sense of grieving to the end of childhood. Many were very excited, but didn't necessarily have any external mirroring or reflection to them from an outsider or their parents or a community to reflect back to them that there's something significant is happening. I mean, obviously on a biological level, this young girl is now actually able to hold life. That's pretty big.
That's huge.
It's pretty huge. And today, you know, and shamanically, how I perceive that is that, yes, not only are you able to bring in another whole sentient being onto this planet, but for your own creative abilities, you're able to start to really create and magnetize, you know, the things that you want to create in your life. Now, most of us aren't told anything about that, of course, but some of the challenges that young girls face is there can be some significant shifts in relationships with their parents, and a lot of eating disorders can start around this time, and I think it's very much linked. So, for example, if a young girl's, you know, physically developing and her sexual energy's activating, maybe her breasts are growing, she's starting to get attention from boys. Sometimes that's exciting, but sometimes that's scary.
It's very scary.
Sometimes
it's both. It's like that's like adventure. It's exciting and scary at the same time.
And some fathers are unsure how to navigate this time in their daughter's life. Their little girl is now exhibiting sexual qualities. They may be getting more and more stunning. They may notice that they have a sexual response to their daughters and freak out. You know, mm-hmm. often young girls feel the most safe if they have a healthy relationship to their father. They feel the most safe kind of, playing safely, exploring their sexual energy towards their father. And so it can be a pretty tricky time. And so sometimes fathers end up actually retracting.
Yeah.
And so all the cuddles and the, you know, being able to sit on daddy's lap and all of those times may suddenly start to kind of shift overnight. And it can be all unconscious, but the message that some girls are receiving is my sexual energy leads to separation from a core relationship of sense of safety. And so some girls unconsciously choose to shut down the sexual activation puberty process. And that's where some eating disorders can happen. This is a big generalization. This is not always why eating disorders happen. Happen by any means, but you know, by stopping eating, sometimes we can actually stop or slow down the process of puberty. Alternatively, some fathers, mothers can do this too. I mean, often the mother is starting to hit menopause just as their daughter is, you know, blossoming. That can create all sorts of
competition, jealousy.
Unconscious competition, jealousy. So again, there could be a separation or a rejection.
You know, I just want to add here to you that in one of my courses, we do emotional release around this very stuff. Like girls actually admit that they wanted their daddy and that just around the time that they got their cycle that they wanted him more than anything and he didn't want them to sit on his lap anymore. All the stuff you just said, we do emotional release around that. And we do the same thing for men, like around the time that their mommies realize that, oh, they're becoming young men, and they start also either rejecting them or if there's no husband, making them the man of the house and all the sexual innuendos that happen with all that. So we do.
It's powerful stuff.
Yeah, we do a process around it so that people could actually get in touch with that, because it often goes really into the shadow.
Totally, totally agree. I think it's really powerful, important work. And you just highlighted that instead of rejection, what can happen, consciously or unconsciously, is the mother or the father could actually take sort of self pride in their blossoming son or daughter. But in this case, we're talking about women, and kind of encourage them to be sort of, you know, show off their goods. And so then they get the message that, you know, overt sexual expression is a way of getting the security of the ongoing respect and admiration of the key parental roles. And that can often lead to, young teenagers being maybe more sexually expressive than they would necessarily want to be from that place of their own choice, but they're using it because the pattern is it gets the core safety needs met. So, I mean, it can take so many different forms, but how to support fathers and mothers to help navigate this territory with their daughters is something I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm. It's so important. It's such a time of change. Well, we're going to take a short break here, though, and when we come back, we can look at that a little bit more, and then I also want to go into what happens after menopause. There's a whole period of time where women have their moon, and then there's a period of time where they don't have it anymore. It's another life change. And what does that mean? So, I have a lot to say about that, because that's the time that I'm in. And so I want to make sure to cover that, because I think a lot of my listeners are in that too.
Great.
Yeah. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. Today we're talking about blood mysteries and women's blood in general, and what it's meant over the years of historically, and then and how it changed and like that, and how people can deal with it or what usually happens. So we're covering a lot of territory today, and I hope that you're taking it in. Whether you're a man or a woman, it's really important. Half the planet is women, and they bleed and don't die. So we'll be right back. I'm with Araminta Barbour, and we'll be back. inviting you to open to the path of true love, power, and freedom. Did you ever stop to think that love is your birthright? That you don't need to earn it or prove it? You just need to live it. If you're ready to radically enliven your sexuality and dive deep into the heart of your wild, erotic nature, then I'm inviting you to join us for the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Experience. There are two that you can choose from that are coming up. One is in Montreal, May 22nd to the 29th, and I'll be co-facilitating that with Crystal Dawn Morris and Frank Mondose. The other one is in Western Ireland, near the Cliffs of Moher, and that's June 6th to the 12th. And I'll be co-facilitating that with Elaine Young and Rex McCann. Either way, I would love for you to consider this week-long, amazing, spiritual, sexual, shamanic experience. You can find out more about them at sexualrenaissance.com, that's the one from Montreal, or on Facebook, go to ISTA, I-S-T-A, Ireland, and there's where you can find out more about the one in Ireland. Please consider this seriously, because love is your birthright.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When?
October 15th to the 22nd, 2016.
Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
Let's make love tonight.
Well, this is Sex and Happiness, and again, I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm speaking today with Araminta Barbour, and we're talking about blood, about monthly cycles, about the what women are now calling their moon, and all the things. I mean, how it went from the curse to the blessing, and how people are reframing it these days, which is really wonderful. And as I thought, it was a little too late for me, but it still did something for me to look into it, and that's for me, that was the healing piece. So, Araminta, we were right in the middle there of fathers and mothers. Is there some kind of a ritual or a ceremony that you suggest for fathers and mothers to deal with when their daughters become of age, meaning their daughters become possessing of a menstrual cycle?
I really invite people to do something that is true to their character rather than taking on some kind of ceremony right off the shelf that has nothing to do with, you know, how they would be normally. But I think taking some time to celebrate and to honor the young woman is really powerful. For men in particular, it's how to navigate this place where they can appreciate and honor the burgeoning sexuality of their daughter, but also be very clear that they can honor it, and they're going to provide a safe space for her to run that energy, but they're not going to engage it. As far as rituals, some people are really enjoying gathering a group of women together and using that as a time of sharing and dropping into more of a sisterhood space. And that there's this huge downloads that come around, especially talking about the emotional body, listening to your intuition, and self-nurturing and self-healing practices. And so having a space where the young woman feels that she's part of a sisterhood circle, that she has mentors, not just her mother, a wider group of women of all ages, and that it's a time where all women come together and talk about all the different stages. And it's really important to have women at all different ages and stages of life, because the collective wisdom is where the sisterhood gets their power from. Mm-hmm. So I'm not fixated on any particular piece, but anything that reframes it as a woman coming into her power and coming into her mastery and it being seen as a blessing, I think is a really a big gift we can give the next generation.
Beautiful. And also in our circles, I mean, in our ISTA trainings, we actually allow men into that circle and into that red tent experience. So then men get to actually see and feel how it is for women. They get to hear some of the stories, and they get to hear about the cycles, and they get to hear about things that really is never for them talked about. So I know that we're doing that service by allowing men in, and I know there are probably other women around the world who are letting men in occasionally, maybe not all the time, but definitely letting them in.
I really suggest we do. I think it's time. I think when enough women have moved into a deeper level of self-acceptance so they can model how much they love their feminine aspect, then we can mirror that back to our brothers to help them actually understand their own feminine energetics within them. It's a really important download, and I think it's high time for the separation of the sexes to end. I think it's still great for men to have their circle time and women to have their time together too, but as a rule, I think it's a great opportunity for us to mix it up, because actually hearing from our brothers about their own experiences around being with women while they've been bleeding, just talking about it all, I think the time is ripe, and it cuts through all the taboo really fast.
Beautiful. And now let's talk a little bit about women who have gone through menopause. I mean, I'll just say for myself, to me, that was another whole, if I thought my period was bad, menopause wasn't so good either. I mean, it lasted for well over 10 years. I had hot flashes and cold flashes all day long, every day. I would be at business meetings and my face would feel like I sprung a fountain while I was sitting and talking to people. I had a different fan. I went to Chinatown and I bought a fan in every color, and I put it in every briefcase and every purse that I had, so I always had a matching fan wherever I went because I was having my own private heat wave. And in the middle of winter, I had to put on the air conditioning. It could have been snowing out, and I was so hot, I had to put the air conditioning on in my room. So, I mean, that was also fraught with embarrassment and shame and not knowing. No one told me about it. My mother did. I called my mother and I said, "Mom, when you were going through menopause, did you feel like you could kill someone?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Oh, Mom, if I had a gun, like, I could be shooting, you know." And then I called my father and I said, "Was Mom, like, really moody and felt like she could kill people when she was going through menopause?" And he went, "Oh, yeah."
I think you're right. I think there's even more taboo and silence around menopause than even menstruation. It's like, and seen from the perspective that I'm looking at now of understanding why perhaps all of this information is hidden, there's something very significant happening, hugely significant happening. And if we only knew how much power was being downloaded, that's why I think there's so much heat going through the body. There's like spiritual fire being downloaded through your system. But because we have no frame of reference for that, it's often met with a huge amount of sadness or frustration. Our culture does not honor the wise woman archetype in any way, really.
That's right. But you know how I learned to deal with it? I read a book. I don't even remember the name of the book. It was like Wise Woman book or something. And it said to stop resisting. So I stopped resisting the heat. And when I stopped resisting the heat, it became less. And then I just sort of had a flow with it. And at this point in my life, in my sixth decade, I am like juicier, sexier, more radiant, definitely hotter, not heat running through me, but the ability to be hot.
Yes, you are, Amanda.
than ever before. It's like, part of it is that I don't have to worry about getting pregnant. Part of it is that I really have come into my power. Part of it is that I would never consider not speaking my truth. And the more that I speak my truth and the wisdom that I've gained, and the more, I don't know, just the more I go through on the planet like that, the juicier I am. Like I want sex more. I want connection more. I want love more. I want to give more. I'm not afraid of what happens. So if I love someone and he doesn't love me back, so what?
Well, I love it because you're tapping into, you're embodying what is possible, and I think what all women could access when they hit menopause, which is actually moon pause, just to get the roots of it. Well, the stereotype is that we get older and weaker.
And dry.
And dry and cranky, or you turn into some sort of sweet, sweet little soft, benign kind of, the classic is sort of the fairy godmother. I find like most of the women's sexual mysteries are encoded in fairy tales. All those sort of wicked stepmothers and pricked fingers and poisoned red apples and all of that is actually all about the blood mysteries.
No kidding.
Show that for another show. But
oh so my God.
The crone is one of these words that's, is being taken back. Because it actually comes from the word crown. So the old wise woman is actually, has been the most feared, the least celebrated, but is the most powerful aspect of, all the goddess archetypes. She's the one that has the most embodied experiential wisdom in her being, has lived through the most cycles. And in the blood mystery teachings, she sits in the final quadrant, which is the winter quadrant. But this is sex magic. This is transformational power. This is the aspect where your ability to be an initiator for those into massive transformations of self-identification. It all sits once you've moved through the shamanic initiation of menopause. So you've been through that ritual. But of course, we're not celebrating that. We're not coming together to celebrate and support women and honor women that have gone through that process and recognize what they hold. And that time is here now, and women such as yourself are showing that that's possible. And sexually, I think definitely want to mention this. I mean, in the sort of Judeo-Christian paradigm, we're told that we have sexual life force because we're supposed to procreate. But, as we know in the sacred sexual shamanic teachings, we talk about various levels of sex and reasons to make love, and from, recreational and intimacy, relational intimacy, of course, to procreate. As a priestess, you have healing capacities. Your sexual energy can be used for rejuvenational practices. And then ultimately, especially held by the crone, but also when a woman is bleeding, if you still have your cycle, if you choose to make love while you're bleeding, instead of that being like the most, unclean, bad time to make love, the invitation is that that might be the most time to engage in transformational sexual sharing.
Yes.
That it's possibly the most powerful time.
Yes.
So everything's back to front than often we've been told in our society.
When you said about, I have to go back to the fairy tales again with the what they mean, you know, the fairy godmother. When you said fairy godmother, I mean, I just want to say, no, I'm Pombojira.
Like, yeah, Pombojira.
I'm no fairy godmother. I'm the Afro-Cuban, I mean, the Afro-Brazilian deity is my calling now. You were there when I found out about her. And
well, you see how it got watered down and polarized. So you have the evil witch, right, in the fairy tales, who lives out in the forest and gives boys and apples, which actually is transformational magic. And then you have the sort of benign, sweet fairy godmother who also provides transformational magic. But they're kind of split and not integrated with with the full celebration of what the other woman holds.
Wow, I'm so excited. Now I'm going to go back and read all the fairy tales. Anyway, this is great stuff. It's a turn on for me. I do sex magic now as a regular practice, as you know. And, I mean, I make magic about everything, and I educate people on how to use their sexual energy to make magic. And I think crones are the most powerful in it. And when I tell them about their orgasms, I say when you let the orgasm out the top of your head, connect it to every crone's orgasm that has ever been.
Wow.
You know, and to make that magic. So you're telling me stuff now that's like full cycle. And very exciting. And anyone listening today, you know, wherever you are in your cycle, I hope you're getting something that validates you and that gives you more self-esteem and more excitement about your life and being a woman than you had before. So Araminta's signaling me about something about the emotional body. So let's take a couple of minutes. To talk about emotional body reframing, is that what you want to talk about?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Because it is such a core part of, I think, one of the biggest gifts in the Blood Mysteries, because so many women find themselves having pretty big emotional waves, especially the week just before their blood comes. And we often have waves of anger come up, or we're crying, and, you know, it's all seen as part of the curse. But one of the massive pieces about changing our whole relationship to our emotional body is to stop putting in a sort of second arrow. We often feel ashamed about our emotional experience. And the more that we can actually start to love and listen to these emotions that are coming up and clear the space that they're asking us to clear, especially things like grief or anger, is often really about where we may have had boundary violations in the previous cycle that we need to listen to. And so, you know, when women dive into the Blood Mysteries and understand the importance of all of the emotions and stop trying to be, you know, our society tries to make us feel that we can always be up and happy and up-tempo and positive and shiny and outgoing and compassionate and nurturing and have time for everybody else and empathetic. You know, it's like women put themselves under so much pressure to be that. And we are naturally that half the time, and the rest of the time, we have a lot of other gifts to honor. Mm-hmm. And by embracing the fullness of the cycle and the fullness of our emotional body, we really get access to incredible wealth of intuition and gifts. So I really wanted to make sure I mentioned the importance of loving the emotional body in its completeness.
Yes, so important. And see, to me, I just feel like all of those feelings inform us of something. So it could be what you said, boundary violations or whatever it is. I mean, like, we're feeling this because we're being informed. I think emotions are supposed to inform us of something going on inside and outside, and it's to pay attention rather than suppress.
They're our warning system from our psyche, in my opinion.
Exactly. Well, Araminta, how do people get in touch with you? How can they find you if they want to see you somewhere or come to Guatemala? Like, what do they do? What do they do to find out more?
If they're interested in what's happening here at the sanctuary, the easiest place to go is the website, which is thesanctuaryguatemala.com. And I have a website for my private sessions and my international work, which is just my name, aramintabarber.com.
Okay, we have to spell that. So it's aramintabarbour.com. Araminta Barber. I mean, your name is not such a common name, you know. There's nothing about you that's common.
And I will be at, there's an ISTA training happening in Guatemala next month in April and in Brazil in May that I'm involved in. So definitely want to mention that because as we both are so passionate about that incredible week-long journey, for any of your listeners that are wanting to dive deep into their own transformation, I highly recommend it.
Wonderful. Araminta, thanks for being my guest today. I love you. And I love you for sharing this information. It makes a difference.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to reach a bigger audience.
So, everybody, thank you for tuning in today to Sex and Happiness. It's been my pleasure to bring this show to you at this point in my life, and I hope you enjoyed it. And please tune in next time. I'll have another amazing guest talking about sex and happiness. What else? This is Lori Handler signing off.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh.